Well, happy Mother's Day as we celebrate moms, and moms really do deserve a lot more credit. I don't know if a name brand vacuum cleaner is quite the appropriate response that you fellas want to show your appreciation to your spouses, but so it's not too late that if you did do that, you can go back and exchange it for something else. But this morning, we're going to look at God's Word and have actually a Mother's Day message. The last several years, I've not given a specific Mother's Day message, and some of you have said, you know, we would like to hear a Mom's Day message. And I said, well, I'd be happy to do that. And so we're going to do that today and look through the Scriptures at some things that, as moms, you can show your love, ways you can show your love and be a great mom. And so as we celebrate moms today, I know how difficult it is to be a mother and the responsibilities of motherhood, not only firsthand because I am married to a mother, but because I was a child of a mother. And I was one of those needy kids. Any of you guys ever have one of your kids that's just particularly needy? I was that kid. Matter of fact, I was a mama's boy growing up, and I'm not ashamed of that. It's a good thing. I only got beat up two or three times as a kid because I was a mama's boy and proud of it, but that's okay. But this morning, we're going to look at what makes moms special. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Thessalonians, in chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, he was giving a description of how he was treating the Christians in Thessalonica when he presented the gospel to them. And he compared it to as a mother who is being gentle with a baby. You see, there's this unique care and love that only a mother can give. And Paul realized that, and he used it as an analogy there. It reminds me of a story. There's a junior high science teacher who was lecturing on the properties of magnets. And so for that entire class, he talked about magnetic fields, and they talked about magnets and all these things. And so the next day, he decided to give a pop quiz. And the question, the first question read like this. It says, "My name begins with an M, has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I?" Half the class answered, "Mother." So, half the class answered, "Mother." The answer is supposed to be, "Magnets." Okay, well, if you have to explain it, I guess it's not that funny. But anyway, Ralph Emerson Waldo has said, "Men are what their mothers make them." I believe that's true, both good and bad. And an old Spanish proverb says this. It says, "An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy." And I thought, how true is that? A mother's influence is greater than a pound of clergy there. And so when I was looking and thinking about this, I was thinking about some of the great mothers of the Bible. And I remember a couple of mothers. You know, I think of Moses' mother, who was so loving of her child that she wanted to save him from being killed. And so she broke the law, and she took Moses and put him in the basket to be raised by Pharaoh's daughter. And because of his mother's love, a great leader for God was born and grew up. I also think of the great love that the mother of Jesus, Mary, must have had for Jesus. When she, at that cross, and we talked about this several weeks ago, was one of the few people there at the cross when Jesus died. No matter what he was going through, no matter the humiliation he experienced, no matter what danger she may have found herself in, she was going to be with her son through thick and thin, up until that very last moment of his last breath. And so we have a couple of mothers there. And so this morning, as we talk about Mother's Day, we're going to look at another mother that maybe is not so common that we talk about. But I also know that as we come to Mother's Day, I was reminded one time that Mother's Day is not always a joyous celebration for some people. One of my very early ministries, I was giving a Mother's Day message, and as the people were coming in, I greeted one elderly lady with a "Happy Mother's Day." And she looked at me, she goes, "No, it's not." And then I was perplexed because I just didn't realize the depth of what some people experience. And today I am aware that maybe for you, Mother's Day is a difficult day for you. Maybe you want to be a mother, but for some reason you can't. Perhaps some of you have had probably not the best mother in the world. And when you think about your mom, it brings up some anxiety and some bad feelings. Some of you have had mothers, if you're like me, who have passed away and who have died. Some of you mothers may have lost children, and Mother's Day only brings back those memories. Some of you mothers may be feeling the pain of a wayward child, someone who is not following in the example that you have set. And some of you in here today are flying solo as you work hard to be a parent by yourself. And so for single moms, we know that this can be an especially difficult day today. But I want to encourage you by reading about two ladies in the Bible that despite some difficult challenges, raised a godly son, and that son went on to serve God in a significant way. And I want to give you a little bit of background here of two ladies. One is Eunice. And I'm not talking about Eunice from Mama's Family. Remember the show? I tried to look for a video clip with Eunice, but none of them were really appropriate for Sunday mornings. But Eunice and Lois. Eunice grew up as a Jewish young lady. And she read the scriptures. And she was strong in her faith. And when it came time for her to become an adult, she married somebody. But she didn't marry a fellow Jew. She married someone who was a Greek, who was an unbeliever. But still, she was true to the scriptures. And she was true to her faith. Eventually, they gave birth to a son. And Eunice did everything in her power to raise that son in the scriptures. She taught him everything there was to know. And one day there was a man by the name of the Apostle Paul who came around preaching about Jesus. And they took time and they listened and they saw that Jesus was the fulfillment of the scriptures that they had studied so hard and they had instilled in their life. And as they began to do that, they became believers and Christians. Well, sometime during this period of this upbringing of this young boy, whose name happened to be Timothy, the father passed away. And there was a grandmother who was Lois. And so grandmother came to live with Eunice and Timothy, and they continued to raise their son. They continued to raise him in the scriptures. And then as he began to grow in his knowledge and understanding of what the Bible taught, and what he had been taught as a child, he came to the point where he made a decision to follow Christ. And that Timothy is the same Timothy who we read about in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, where the Apostle Paul gives these letters to Timothy as an encouragement to him. The Apostle Paul saw Timothy as a spiritual son. Here is someone who doesn't have a father, and yet Paul comes and becomes that mentor. And Timothy is a great asset to the spreading of God's word. And you and I sit here today because of the actions of Timothy and his commitment to the scriptures and reading and understanding what we know. And so when I look at this, here is a picture of some difficult times. A lost father, there was no grandfather in their picture, and there are these two ladies, a mom and a grandma, raising a young child. And through this, there are three ways that as mothers, you can show love. I'm not a mother, but we all can learn from this. As mothers, you can show love to your children. And so I want to look at just a couple of verses today in Scripture that will show us how they were able to do that and raise this young boy, Timothy, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, the first way that moms, you can show love is by instilling Scripture within the hearts of your children. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy. So go ahead and open up. And that's in the New Testament. And you go through past the Gospels, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and then you get to 1 and 2 Timothy. And so our first text that we're going to read this morning that show us how this works and how they were able to instill the scripture into this young boy, we'll find here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, which reads this: "But as for you," now this is Paul's letter to Timothy, "but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Now, some of you may recognize a text which immediately follows this, which is 2 Timothy 3:16. We use this for our 40 days in the Word, one of our memory verse, which reads, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Many of us know that passage, but I think it's interesting to know the context in which that passage was given, which is about this. He says, Paul is saying to Timothy, "Timothy, hold on to what you have been taught." And I love the phrase here, it's because you know who taught it to you, your mother and your grandmother, because these things have been instilled from infancy. This idea of infancy is a young child, someone who is nursing, or even a toddler, to say it's never too early to begin instilling Scripture into your child's heart. See, one of the ways that as moms you can show love to your children, and it doesn't matter if they're infants or grown-ups, is to instill God's Word into their heart. If you go back, the reason why they did that was because they understood the Scriptures. In the book of Deuteronomy, there is a command for parents here. And I want you to write this down. If you have your Bibles, underline it, highlight it, because it's really the basis of what they were doing here. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, it reads this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands I give to you today, are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates." See, there's a command to raise our children in knowing the Scriptures. One of the things that I value that we do at our house is we read the Scriptures to our children. Right now, we're going through the book of Proverbs. Now, going through the book of Proverbs with an 8-year-old is quite comical at times, but it's something that we do. And I love the fact that there was a time I was in the car with my son, and one of his friends is actually the Rockies' grandson, little Zach. They're both in second grade. They're 8-year-olds. And there was a Bible in the back of the car, and it was instinctively these two young kids, because they have lived a life being taught the Scriptures, it was natural for them to pick up this Bible that was sitting in the back. They just started reading it. And they were taking turns. It was the cutest thing I had ever seen. One would read for a while, and you read this verse. And they would read it, and they, for 20 minutes, these boys just read the Scriptures. When I think about this, it's something that is the responsibility, but it's also how we can show love to our children. Instill the Scriptures in their heart. It pays big dividends as they grow older. Some of you have started with a disadvantage where you weren't taught the Scriptures. And you know how, as an adult, and because you tell me all the time, it's so hard to memorize and to know Scripture. And when you start out as an adult, it is more difficult. But how much easier is it when, as a child, you can learn to teach those Scriptures to your children? It's what Paul told Timothy, say, hold on to that, what you received. That was a blessing to Timothy that Paul reads out here. So, moms and dads, it's never too early. And guess what? It's never too late. One of the things that I always appreciated from my parents is that they still, my mom's been passed, but even my dad will still send me an email occasionally with Scripture on it. He says, "Son, I was reading this." I remember as a young child, when I would get up, my dad would get up early and go to work, and I would come down and sit around the breakfast table where he had been, and he read his Bible every morning at the breakfast table. And oftentimes there was a note on the table open in the passage of Scripture. And he says, "Hey, I was reading this today and thought of you kids." And we would read that Scripture. And so it's never too early and it's never too late to instill the Scriptures within your children. I'm going to have just a moment of prayer. where we're just going to ask the Lord to give us opportunities and help remind us to instill Scriptures within our children. Would you bow with me? Father God, your Word is such a treasure that to so many of us is lost at times. Father, we don't take advantage of the truth that is found. And Lord, as we reflect on these actions of Eunice and Lois, Father, as they instilled the Scriptures within Timothy and it allowed him to grow up, I pray that we would instill the Scriptures within our children and our grandchildren. And Father, regardless of what our circumstances are, the difficulties that we face, Lord, that we would always, always return to you, and that we would hold these Scriptures high. And so, Father, I just ask for the opportunities and for the motivation to share these Scriptures, your Word, with our children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, the second way that mothers can show love, and that Eunice and that Lois demonstrated and showed love, was by nurturing faith. Now go back a couple of pages here, and we're in 2 Timothy, and we're going back to chapter 1, verse 5. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And here again is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, where he says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." One of the things we need to do, and we can do as mothers, and you can as parents, and specifically mothers here, is by nurturing faith. There's an important word that I want us to look at in here. It says, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith." I want you to underline that word, sincere faith. Sincere faith, it really goes back to a Greek term which was used, and I think Dave Junkins gave me a little heads up on this a few weeks ago when we were talking about sin. You know the word sin is insincere, but it all has to do with the same thing. And originally it meant, it was a term that was used when they were selling pottery or different things. And as things happen, when you're selling pottery, which was a major industry of the time in the New Testament, sometimes cracks happen in pottery. Have any of you ever made pottery before? And it dries and it might crack, or you might drop it and it might crack. Well, instead of doing away with the pot, what they would do is they would fill it with either some sort of filler or a wax. And you couldn't see it, but there was a blemish on that piece of pottery. And so those were sold at a discounted price. But the true pottery that did not have any blemishes, that didn't have any cracks, that was sold as sincere pottery. It was sincere. It didn't have any blemishes. It didn't have any cracks. There were no imperfections in it. And it says this, that there is a difference between a faith that simply exists in a sincere faith, where it is true, it is non-hypocritical. And this is the type of faith that Eunice and Lois passed down. It's a type of faith where there was no cracks in their foundation, that they were true to God's Word in almost every area of their life. And folks, here's what I believe to be true. The person that figures out the inconsistencies in my life the first and realize it, is it the most? Guess who? My kids. Kids can spot a fraud a million miles away. And there are times where I'll do something, or I'll have an attitude, or I'll say something, and there's one of my kids looking, "Oh, Daddy." You know? You ever have those experiences? And to me, it reminds me of those inconsistencies in my faith. And I want to have a sincere faith. I want to have a sincere faith that's not masked over by some cheap imitation filler, but a faith that is grounded in God's Word. I want to tell you this right now, and you know it to be true, that issues of faith are caught and rarely taught. See, if we're only teaching our kids about our faith, and we're not showing our kids our faith, they're not going to get it. A sincere faith is a faith that is being taught through actions, and through lifestyle, and through consistency of integrity. And I want to tell you, as a dad, and moms, you know this too, sometimes it's hard to have that sincere faith, isn't it? Well, this morning, the reason why Timothy was able to be used by God is because Lois and Eunice demonstrated a sincere faith. And it should be our desire to have a sincere faith. And so we're going to take a minute now and just pray that the Lord would expose to us areas of our lives that we can't just patch over with some filler, that we need to get right with God, and so that we can have that sincere faith. Father, I know that in each one of our lives, as parents and mothers and grandparents and grandmas, Lord, that there are areas of our lives where we don't measure up to what Your Word says. And instead of filling our life with Your truth and Your likeness, we make a fake facade. We put in a filler to make ourselves look good. But Father, it's my prayer that just as Eunice, just as Lois, they had a sincere faith, Father, I just pray that You would convict us of the areas of our lives, Father, that You would want us to be sincere, that we would be molded into Your likeness, and that we would have an authenticity of our faith that is sincere, that is non-hypocritical, and that we would, Father, become more into Your likeness. I pray, Father, as we do that, that those who we have influence on, whether it's our children or our grandchildren or our neighbors or our nieces and nephews, Father, that they would see and they would catch that, and that they would understand that there is a difference in the life of a believer, someone who follows You. Help us to be sincere, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, so the first way that we can show love, moms and dads, but moms here we're talking to, is instilling the Scriptures, just like Eunice and Lois. The second way is to nurture faithfulness in a child's life. Well, the third thing is this, modeling service. And to look at that, we're going to be in the book of Acts. So go ahead and turn. That's after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're in the book of Acts. And Acts is the story. It tells of the events of those very first believers after Jesus ascended into heaven and the apostles were on the earth and the things that they did. And we have mentioned here again of Timothy in chapter 16 and verses 1 through 3. But it's this ideal of modeling service. Again, one of those areas where things are caught and not taught. I was very fortunate to have a mother who served the Lord. One of the ways I believe I emulate my mother, now that she has passed, was because she was a caring and loving individual. My mother was the least judgmental person that I had ever met. I remember there were times where I'd want to make fun of kids at school because they were, you know, their clothes weren't as good as mine or something like that. And I remember my mom saying, "Maybe that's all they had, Chad. Maybe that's all they had." Or she would go out and she would serve and she would help elderly senior citizens at the Senior Citizen Center in our community. And she would bring them meals and she would serve them. And as a little kid, I was toted along for the ride. And I remember the tireless hours my mother would spend helping other people. My mother's range of friends were so broad of spectrum that she was friends with the nobodies, the people that other people had discarded, that fell through the cracks of society, and she befriended them and she loved them. And she was also friends to those people who had high esteem. And oftentimes she was that person that would bridge the gap between the two and get other people to see the needs of others. And as a child, I remember that. And I think so much of my caring disposition, some of you are like, "You're caring? I haven't seen that." But so much of what, if I do have it, so much of what I have has come from her. And I think of Eunice and when I think of Lois here, I think of my mom. But this is the effect that it had, because he modeled service. See, it's not enough that we just teach our children about faith and that we have an authentic faith, that we're not merely believers, but we're followers of Jesus Christ. But that has to equate into something, which is bearing fruit, which is serving other people. And listen to what Paul says here to Timothy in Acts chapter 16. Or he doesn't say it to Timothy, he's describing it. And this isn't Paul, this is Luke here, sorry. I'm going crazy. It says this: "He came to Derbe, then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey." Now here is a young man that Paul says, this is my spiritual son. And there's three things that Timothy developed because of the influence of his mother. The first thing it says he was a disciple. Luke says more than he's just a believer. Oftentimes in Scripture you'll read this person was a believer, or they were believers in this particular place. But I think it's interesting that Luke says here that there was a disciple. There is a distinct difference between simply a believer and a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple of Jesus Christ is someone who is totally sold out and they devote their entire lives to the Scriptures and doing what God wants them to do. That is my goal for every one of us, to become a disciple. Here we look at Timothy, and he's a disciple named Timothy. The other thing was, he was spoken well of. It says they spoke well of him there. He had a good reputation. You know, we all earn a reputation, don't we? Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. But not only in one location was he well spoken of, but there were several locations that Timothy had been serving, and every report that came back is, here is a man of God. We speak well of him. And in return, then Paul wanted, the third thing, wanted to take him along. There was a desire. Paul, if anyone, was going to be picky about who he would take on his missionary journeys, because Paul understood what was at risk. Paul understood that there were very few people willing to take the type of risk that Paul took, because it was dangerous. He was beat up. He was jailed. He was shipwrecked. And he realized the consequences of taking someone along. And so when he was choosing a person to take, he wasn't going to take anyone. He wasn't going to take just the guy that had potential. Well, I bet if we work with him, he'll become a good guy. He says, no, this is the guy I want to take because he's proven himself to be a disciple, he's well spoken of, and he's going to be dependable. How was it that Timothy was able to develop in this way? It all goes back to those two ladies. It all goes back to Eunice and to Lois, who were there in raising him in the Scriptures. They were raising him in a sincere faith. And because of that, he was used in a mighty way. You may say, well, it's too late. My kids are grown. I can't do anything now. It's never too late. It's never too late. God calls all of us to live in a way that whoever would come across our path, that we could have this same type of influence on. Moms, you know, you have a huge job. Grandmas, you know that when your children are adults and they start having children, you never cease being in that mom role, do you? It's an eternal role. You will always be a mother. And it's my encouragement today to you that you would instill the Scriptures in whoever you have opportunity to, that you would continue to model sincerity in your life, a sincere faith, and that you would be serving God in whatever opportunities that you have to be that role model, so that when they look at you, they'll say, there is a woman of God. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for me. Father, I thank you for me.